15, verses 18 through 20. It should be on your screen, but if you've got your Bible or your phone, you can follow along there. And in this section of John chapter 15, this is where Jesus is explaining to the disciples about how much the world's going to hate them because of him. But it says this, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours." So, you say, well, that's not be in the world but not of the world, right? Let me explain that just a little bit. What Jesus is talking about there is if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are no longer a part of the world that you live in. Yes, you are physically, but spiritually, and we've been talking about this a lot lately, spiritually speaking, there'll come a day and time, whether you die and go to be with the Father, or he comes back in the next 5 minutes or tomorrow, there'll come a time where, guess what? Spiritually speaking, you will no longer be a part of this world. You'll be a part of his world, of his kingdom. I've often thought it was interesting how people get upset. I guess it's jealousy, right? You know? Perhaps maybe people understand more than what we think they understand sometimes. Maybe they really do understand. Maybe that person's a Christian. Maybe, you know, they, at some point in time, they're going to be better off than I am. But yet they still refuse to give their life to Christ. Just baffles me. Go on over to John 17, because I want to get this scripture out, and then we'll just have some more conversation about it. Now these words here, and I'm not going to read all of it. We're going to read 14, 15, 16. But these are the words of Jesus' priestly prayer, which he had prayed just before his arrest. Now, if you read this whole prayer, he's praying for the current believers and the current disciples, but in that prayer, he's also praying for who? For us. And all the Christians between them and now, and guess what? From now until he comes back again. So he's praying for all believers, all those who give their life to Christ. But 14 through 16 of chapter 17, it says this. And again, this is he's praying to the Father. He says, "Father, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." Jesus himself says, "Protect them, Father." Why? Because they belong to me. And because they belong to me, they're not a part of this world. If they're not a part of this world, guess what? The world's not going to like them very much. Now, that's a hard pill to swallow sometimes, right? To align yourself with Christ, and I don't sugarcoat stuff. To align yourself with Christ is you standing up and saying, "Here I am, world. Here I am, Satan. Come and get me." Think about it. And that's what Jesus is teaching us. Be in this world, but not of this world. We have a great opportunity at Thanksgiving, a great opportunity at Thanksgiving to put that into practice in a loving, non-threatening, kind way. So I just thought I'd give you some practical advice for you as we move toward Thanksgiving. Did you know that most people naturally complain as opposed to giving thanks? I see a lot of people doing like this. Am I that way?
Probably.
Right. But the other reality of that is most people understand that having a heart, as we talked about last week, of gratitude is really a better way. We complain, but if asked, we would say, you know what? It'd probably be better if I was more thankful. It'd be better if I was more grateful. In fact, even if you ask what we would say a non-believer, a non-Christian, this question, do you think your life would be better if you were more grateful? I think most would respond resoundingly with a yes. Of course, I don't know this 100% for sure, but I believe most people would respond, yes, I think if I was more grateful, my life would be different. As a believer, we get the opportunity to leverage the Word of God as a connection this Thanksgiving in a way that will help those with and without Christ on that day. What an opportunity. So this year I want to encourage you to be thankful. In other words, be the grateful one in the room. Boy, that's tough sometimes, isn't it? And I may have shared this back when I worked in manufacturing and I was a production supervisor, and I think it was 80-something. I don't remember if it was 83 or 86. But out of those 83 or 86 of those, I only had about 10 or 15 women. And everybody said, oh, man, that'll be an easy job. It's hard to work with women as men. I ain't never in my life heard so many men that griped and complained and was unhappy in all my life. And most of the ladies, they was delightful, But it's how we are in our world, right? It's a stereotypical thought. It's a thing that the devil plants in us to make us do what? But we go against each other. This Thanksgiving, if everybody around you is like this, look at that situation, and I'll say this, be the spiritual adult in the room, and be the one that's thankful, be the one that's grateful. Jesus gave us instruction on how to put it in practice. But we first got to understand that our faith absolutely separates us from the world. Basically, let me put it this way in simple terms. The system of the world is currently ruled by Satan, and I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a part of something that's designed to cause me harm. I look around, everybody's doing this. Nobody wants to be a part of something that you know from the get-go is designed to bring harm to you and your life and your family. Nobody does. Jesus says that those who belong to him are no longer a part of this world. Well, you say, well, preacher, I'm sitting here. I got to live in it every day. Well, what does that mean? What does the words of Christ mean when he's saying this? In other words, if your salvation is genuine and he is transforming you, he's changing you, he's changing us, he's protecting us from the sinful traps that we find in this world. What he means by that is that the power of sin has no power and no control over the believer that's filled and sealed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, if we nod and we shake it, why don't we live that way? Many of us, Brady's already done it today. I've probably something different. But we were talking about OCA being out of school, and he said, well, Tocoa school, Georgia school system's out of school all this week too. Why can't we be out of school? Well, you in Oklahoma County, but you gotta go to school, man.
They all go to school
in the
days.
But my point is our natural inclination is to look at the next day or look at the following day after that, and we find all the negative stuff in. But can I just say this? Those are worldly things that we're getting upset about. Those are worldly things that we're getting mad about. But what does Jesus tell us? Don't let those things get to you. Don't let those things bother to you. Instead, practice gratefulness and practice thankfulness. And look, walk in the power of the Holy Spirit that you've been gifted because of your salvation, and don't let that stuff bother you. Easier said than done, right? Easier. I had this conversation one time about righteousness and holiness. You know, in the Word, we're told to be more like Christ, to become more holy, to become more righteous. That can be difficult. But, can I just say this? While it's difficult, it's only difficult because we make it that way. Christ says it's easy. Give your life to me, follow me, be in love with me, let my power lead and guide you every step of the way in everything, always. Remember the last couple of weeks? If we can somehow live our life that way every day, then that process is easy. We got to start, and I've said this for months and months and months, embracing, yes, our salvation, but all the stuff that comes with that. And all the stuff that comes with that is what? We don't belong to this world. We don't belong to Satan anymore. That's what Jesus is saying. And as Christians, we have got to start living that and walking in that and believing that. You say, well, how do I do that? How do I do that? Well, believing in Jesus doesn't mean that you'll automatically stop sinning. God didn't design humans to be robots with no ability to choose. He gave us, and we can still make our own decisions. And with Christ, we don't have to be a slave to our bad choices or when we decide to follow something. We've been given the power to choose not to participate in the sinful stuff that the world loves to put in our face. We have the power to choose to go into it, but guess what? God says, we'll let you have that option. But you also, because of Christ, have the power to choose not to. Now let me give you the reality of that. There's things in our life, and I've said this before, everybody's got them. You can't overpower that thing. You can't. That's what I keep saying. You can't. But the power of Christ can. And that's the answer. How do you get to where every day you're living for Christ? Well, it goes back to what Paul teaches us, right? Every day we have to start over. Not with our salvation, but with our prayer to Him to say, God, I can't do this today, but I know You can. God, I got to go do something that's difficult. I don't know how. I don't want to. But You want me to, so now help me. And in His will and in His way and His time, and guess what? His power, He'll allow you to do that. We was at the store the other day, and there was this addiction recovery group out there. You know, they were selling their items and stuff. The lady shared her story for 30 years, smoked crack, and met Jesus. And now she don't even smoke a cigarette, but she's been smoking since she was 8 years old. And she said, every day I want it, but because of Jesus, I don't. Jesus said, be in the world, but not of the world. You don't want to be of the world, you got to be in the world, but you got to be in the world filled with Him. You want to be the spiritual adult in the room at Thanksgiving when everybody else is griping and complaining? You want to be the one in the corner grateful for everything and thankful for everything? Starts with Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you another truth. Nothing about that situation. We can choose to avoid the darkness that this world constantly shoves in our face. You have the freedom to choose Jesus every day. And as Paul teaches us, it's a daily thing, a daily commitment on our part that is backed up by the power you have in Christ Jesus. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, and this is Paul speaking, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Pause it right there, Brady. You know what he's saying right there? Those things that I don't have power over, whether it be an addiction, right? Whether it be that person that just gets under your skin. And I got to speak Friday at OCA, and I was talking to those kids, and I said, you know, that there's people that just get on our nerves, and you know, we look up to God, and we say, God, won't you just write it down on them? That's a weakness. That's actually a sin, folks, to have those thoughts. Now, a lot of times we do it by picking on people, too. That's what I was telling those kids. You know, it's cool. It's the popular in thing to do, is to be like the vultures and go after that, the one. Right? But in Christ, you don't have to be that way. In Christ, you don't have to do those things. In Christ, what does he say? Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses. What's Paul telling us? If you know you struggle with it, keep it at the front, not at the back. Because that's what we do. We say, well, that's the one I struggle with. I'm going to push it back here. These are easy. I can do these. We've got to flip that around, folks. The ones that's the hardest is the ones that needs to be right in front of us. That's the ones we've got to attack, to use my old military mentality. Where you want to hit the enemy? Square in the nose. We can choose to avoid the darkness that this world constantly shoves in our face. The rest of that says what? For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Humility is key. Think less of yourself and more of others. And this, what Paul is telling us, what Jesus is telling us, will become a simpler thing on a day-to-day basis. Having said this, the flip side of that is we don't want to be what I think has caused the church a lot of harm. We don't want to be the one walking around just full of all this self-righteousness. Remember, we are to be ambassadors for Christ and his kingdom. And I've said this before, nobody wants to listen to the banty rooster. It's just so full of himself, crowing about how perfect and how holy and how righteous he or she might be. They might listen for a smidge of a moment. But when that smidge of a moment is gone, guess what they're going to do? They ain't going to listen any longer. We, according to Jesus, if we're a believer, if you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, you're just a visitor in this world. And it's not your home. And boy, you know what the truth in that is? Whose home is this? Satan. That's hard for us to comprehend. It doesn't make sense to us. Can I just say this? It's part of the curse. His curse and our curse. But this is his home. And boy, if you've been in our Revelation study, it ain't going to end well, is it? For those that follow him. But it's going to end. I can't even explain how awesome and how great it's going to end for those that choose Christ. We're just visitors in this world. This is not our home. We got an opportunity on Thanksgiving to take a worldly holiday, a worldly national holiday, and live our lives in such a way that the people around us, they see us and they know, not because of us, not because we're the rooster, But they know that when they see us, that there's something better. There's something wonderful. There's something good. It's Jesus Christ and His power that is in us. Something different than the norm. And I capitalize this. We are to be lights of hope to those that are stumbling around in the spiritual darkness of this world. What an opportunity we have as Christians, as I just said, to take a worldly holiday. It's going to probably stay that way, just to be honest with you. A worldly holiday, and take Jesus, take the light of Christ into it, and in a loving way, come alongside those that might not see the same way we do, might not act the same way we do. And look, sometimes you don't have to say anything. You just have to be Christ. You have to be Christ in the moment. You have to let Christ flow out. We say, be light into the world, right? Again, let's go back to it. We don't have the ability to do that. We don't. We can be nice and we can be kind. We don't have the ability to be a light in the darkness. But He does. He does. So my challenge for you this Thanksgiving is allow that light to shine. Allow that light to shine. Here's the cool thing. We got this super bright flashlight that we take deer hunting. Boy, it loves batteries. You walk in the woods, and you come out at night, and you got to put a new battery in. You got to do that with Jesus. You ain't never going out. Turn it on, leave it on, and it'll never burn. One last thought for you. One last thought. How do I go into those situations where I don't really want to be there, but I know it's important that I'm there? Can I just say this? As Paul says, ask to start over today. Ask to start over. Say, Lord, I don't want to go do this. Be honest with you, I'm not good at this. But I know with you, I can get it. And don't be you, but be the you that Jesus wants you to be or makes you to be in that moment. And I don't know, I believe in my heart, if you try that and you do that on Thursday, you'll probably look back on Friday morning and say, man, that was a good Thanksgiving. That was a good day. I'll be honest with you. I tell the mayor out there, I got three different meals. I'm not going to eat from now to Thursday, so I can eat on Thursday. You know, with three different meals, and I'll just be honest with you, one of those, I'm dreading already. So the preacher, stop complaining. And I'm going to. I'm going to stop complaining. I'm just going to do it. We're going to do it. You know why I'm going to do it? Because there's going to be people there. And even though not that I love them, but Jesus loves them. And I can't get up here on Sunday morning and preach and teach the Word of God and then not go to meet it. That's right. Now I know this was not a message about giving your heart to Christ, but in a way it was. In a way it was. Because everybody is going to struggle these holiday season, whether it be Thanksgiving, whether it be Christmas, in their own little way. We're going to have great times, but there's going to be moments that we're going to struggle. That we will. If you don't have Jesus, that'll remain a struggle. But if you give your life to Christ, guess what? He says, when you belong to Him, you no longer belong in this world. And it's His power that gets you through the darkness. That gets you through the middle.
Y'all, there's a lot of folks running around everywhere for whom they've given suicides go up at Christmas time. People don't have the Lord. Seek them out, hold their hand, give them the Lord. That's how we are.
Brady's going to play us a song, and this is your opportunity to do business with God. You don't have to come here. You don't have to. You can sit where you're at. If I can help you, I will. Do you have something, Sylvia?
Yeah, I wrote down a little story.
Go ahead. See, it's our poets that can come up with stuff like that. Let your attitude
of gratitude.
And you will be a happy dude. And you will be a happy dude.
Or as Paul says, godliness confesses the truth.
Yeah. Or do that, right? Or do that, right?
Do that.
So Brady's going to turn the volume up. If you need to do business with God this morning, the altar's here. I'll be here. Cool thing about God is He'll hear you. We talked about that already, right? Right where you sit. Just don't leave today without doing what you need to do before you're going to be a light into this dark world. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us despite who we are. Thank you, God, for sending me to the cross so I didn't have to. Father, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity we're going to have this week to be Jesus in this world. So God, we just, as we leave today, we want you to know how much you mean to us.